And Can It Be is the third choice out of your 10. Why have you chosen this song?
Here is one of the lies, I think, that people say about church music. One of the lies about church music people say is, you know, you've got to get rid of all these old hymns because they don't resonate with young people who have a different style and taste in music. I had a record collection, Rolling Stones, Kinks, The Who, Joan Armatrading, Anita Baker, Blue Oyster Cult, etc., etc., came to faith, and I would weep singing And Can It Be. Amazing love, How Can It Be? And I think the gospel transforms us with a content that when you get a marriage between lyrics that really capture the gospel, like Charles Wesley's And Can It Be, and a good rhythm, like you have in some of the traditional hymn tunes that go with it, Sagina or Sagina especially, it's just a phenomenal hymn. And our generation has lost some of the wondrous hymns of the past, which when I went 21 years old, never in church, and I loved And Can It Be because God just spoke to me through it.
Now, you're sharing about the impact that had on you between the ages of 10 and 17, but you said you went to England and you weren't a Christian. So can you tell us how old you were when you came to faith?
21. So what happened was that I had gone down to England, perhaps with a value system that really had come out of my home. It wasn't churchy. In fact, I once had a girlfriend who was Roman Catholic and so went to church. To church sometimes, and I remember I used to mock her about this, so it was very not churchy. And my dad had instilled in me a value system which was somewhat self-made. It meant that I had to have stamina, keep going, be strong, but not bully people. Don't hit girls, don't hit teachers, don't bring the police home because you get into trouble, yeah. These kind of things. But it also was one that gave me a fair bit of liberty. And so when I went to England to study and work, basically, I just went crazy. Money, chasing girls, football, parties, sport. And between the age of about 18 and 21, really just, I had all the assets necessary to do whatever I wanted and the freedom to do it. And I lived it to the full. And the thing that happened that turned things around was that I really had a great sense of that I was kind of lord of my own life. I put it in Christian terms, lord of my own life, absolutely invincible, absolutely omnipotent. And then two things happened at the same time. And the outcome of that was disproportionate to actually what happened. Because I was studying accountancy exams and by and large, going through them okay. I wasn't bothered about excelling because I just wanted to do life on the side and my accountancy was kind of paying for that. Anyway, suddenly realized one night at 6 o'clock that we have professional exams. I was to be a chartered management accountant. We had professional exams that we should apply for. And I said to my flatmates, when is it we've got to apply for the exams? It was literally, that was the deadline.
Wow.
And so I had forgotten, with all my nonsense, I'd actually forgotten to apply to sit the exams. Now, The outcome of that really would just be a delay of 6 months because they were kind of twice a year. You'd sat them in May, sat them in November, I think it was. Mm. So really, the huge significance was not, it was embarrassing,
yeah,
but not disaster. And then the other thing that happened at the same time was I was kind of hanging around dating a number of girls at the same time. And that was kind of characteristic of the sort of loose way that I was living life and not really committing to anything or anybody. But one of the girls decided that she was going to go back and get together with a guy she'd been dating for 6 years. And I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so arrogant and self-centered and self-confident. But the combination of these two things, bizarrely, had a very huge effect on me. And basically I felt as though the ground had just been shaken right out from underneath my feet. And the outcome, the dots don't really join up, but the outcome of these two events was that I got hold of a Bible and in my bedroom gave my life to the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
And so I had no Christian friends, no church connection, had been away from Scotland for a few years, so I didn't have any like Christian contact whatsoever, really down south. Mm. And but in my room with my Bible, was able to come to the Lord. And although there was nobody really involved except the Lord, actually it had been years 10 through 17 that had been the impact years. A couple of Crusader leaders who I'd hugely respected, a guy from the Free Church in Glasgow, a guy called Evan McDonald, really invested himself in me when I was young. And then a guy called, a Church of Scotland chappie called Norris Thompson, who really opened his house and his family to me as well when I was younger. And the impact of them on my life was just really now taking fruit, age 21.
That's amazing. So how did your life change then from that moment that when you gave your life to Christ, what happened from then?
The outcome was pretty immediate, actually, because, you know, my whole life had been bound up in myself, partying, football, sports, girls, and so on. And a very unusual thing happened. I was actually living in Derby, and I suddenly had this huge belief that I needed, instead of to be turned in on myself, selfishly, to be turned out. And somehow or other, I got wind of the fact that there was people in Derby who were very sad, to the point that some would even think about taking their life. Oh. And that was not, for some reason, this resonated with me at the moment, even though that wasn't, you know, something that I was living. But anyway, long story short, 21 years old, I trained as a Samaritan and became a Samaritan. And so age 21, here was I sitting in a wee room in Derby, talking to people on the phone to try and stop them committing suicide. And then also I had one of my female friends. I knew that her old, they seemed like old, they were probably in their 40s, but her old mum and dad would go to church, a Methodist church. And so I said to her, do you think I could go to church with your mum and dad on Sunday? Well, you know, she kind of looked at me as if, you know, like, yeah, you know, like you're kidding. And I said, no, I'm serious. And so from there on, I went to church with her mum and dad.
Wow.
On a Sunday morning. And through different contacts, I got put in contact with another church, which was a bit more lively than the one in the morning. And I began going to church at night as well, to a different church. There was another Methodist church, as it happens. But that was just by the providences of God that these were the two churches that were put into my connection. But, you know, one of the things that my dad instilled in me when I was getting brought up was basically a kind of commitment, a stamina. You keep going, you keep doing. He wouldn't let me stop going to Crusaders, not because he believed in what Crusaders were doing, but he didn't believe in just floating in and out of things. Oh. So if a Sunday afternoon came and I said, oh, I can't be bothered going, you know, he would say, get going. Yeah. So when I started going to church with this elderly couple, when I found this slightly more attractive church, so to speak, to a 21-year-old guy,
yeah,
I kept going in the morning to this traditional church with the older folks. Mm. Because part of that upbringing is you just don't jump in and out of things quickly. And so I kept going to church. So there was quite a change immediately, both in that kind of outward look to other people and also church as well. And I began reading my Bible and really getting into God's word.
Man of Sorrows is your fourth choice. Why have you chosen this one?
Well, this one is the kind of contemporized version of what was a traditional hymn. But and in some ways, I like this. This is, I think, where my heart is. I actually even like to sing And Can It Be Now to a different tune that was written by the Fellinghams. Some of my congregation are not so happy when I do that, and they're very confident in letting me know when I have stepped outside the realms of good hymn-choosing ability. But I think those who might listen to this who are musical, if you can do what I think Hillsong's done with Man of Sorrows, and make it resonate to a new generation, which I believe this does. They've introduced some bridges and some refrains and so on. Phenomenal gospel lyrics, great content of God's word, but done in a way that can be accessed by this generation. So those, I would say, who are able in these ways that I'm not, you know, the more you can do this, I think you really can minister into church life.
Now my day is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood. And my Jesus paid. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free.